on the condition that God puts forth in His Word. That's what if means. In other words, if is very conditional. A lot of people wonder, why doesn't God bless me? Well, they don't read the if. And if you don't do your part, our Father is not obligated to do His. So guess who's just out of luck? The person that doesn't pay attention to the ifs of Almighty God's Word. We're going to begin in the very beginning. I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis in the beginning, chapter 1. And I want you to bear in mind that how fair our Father is, even through the Son. Son would teach whosoever will. Well, will is also conditioned. If they don't, that's not a will, so they're out of luck again, all right? So our Father, though, is very fair in whomsoever will. Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, yet our Father, before that fact, before he committed that murder, gave him some very good advice and used that great big if word on him. The reason I wanted to use this is because of the first prophecy of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3 verse 16, where God would say, because of what you have done to the woman, I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. Therefore Cain, even with that upon, not necessarily him, but upon Satan as far as that's concerned, your documentation when I say that Cain was of that wicked, you will read that in the first epistle of John. You will read it also in St. John chapter 8 verse 44, where Christ would tell him quite frankly, the Kenites, you are the offspring of the first murderer. Who was the first murderer? Hey, big deal. It was Cain, of course. But even Cain, God would, inasmuch as he is not a respecter of persons, so let's pick it up, if we may, in the fifth verse of chapter 4. And that fifth verse reads, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth. He was ticked. He was angry. And his countenance fell. Boy, his old bottom lip dropped just about down to, whatever, 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Question, why are you mad? And why is thy countenance fallen? Question mark. I mean, it's, you know, a man or a woman's countenance is a beautiful thing, and you can read him like a book with it. Verse 7, and here's the big if. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? The answer, of course, is yes. I don't care if it was Cain. Now, that's the reason I came here. I want this to sink in real good. It didn't matter that it was Cain. Had he done well, had he been a can-do type person for the Lord, then he would have been accepted. No questions asked. And if, here we have that another use of it, if thou doest not well, this is the condition, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And actually this goes back to the cause of the Lamb, and it's a different subject for a different time today. I want to concentrate on the condition. If you listen to the conditions, you're going to do well. I don't care who you are, where you're from, or what's your situation, because God even opened it to the Kenites, those that claim to be of our brother Judah, and are not, and do lie, and are in fact of the synagogue of Satan. Even they, if they accept, if they please God, if they met the conditions, he said, I'll accept you. You'll be fine. So that shows how kind, how wonderful, and how fair our Father is. However, He's also fair in judgment. If you don't take care of the ifs, I'm sorry, He's already told you where you're going to be. So get set for it. You can count on it. That's where you will be. So it really comes down to this. Every person, without excuse, because of who they listen to, or one thing or the other, or who they study, are responsible for their own condition. You know, man likes to say, well, that's my brother's fault. They always loved him a lot better than me, and look at poor me. Now, poor me, get up, stand up, act like a man, and you'll be a man. Won't buy that poor me baby stuff. You are responsible for where you're at, and hey, if you want to change it, it's real easy. Watch the ifs. Take care of business. Take care of yourself. Be a man. Be a woman. Be a child of God. And it will be well with you. People run around like a bunch of chickens, looking for here and looking for there, going into debt over their heads to where they can't manage it, and so on and so forth, rather than, hey, if you can't afford it, you don't need it. And don't use credit, clear out the window. Use this. That's what God gave it to you for, was to think with. Now, am I scolding? No. I'm explaining why the ifs are important. Let's just take usury as an example. Interest. If you can buy a washing machine for $500, then why in the world would you not want to make payments to yourself until you have the five? Or are you one of these that likes to go down and pay $750 for it, or maybe even $1,000? Do you just like to do that? No. Think. Manage. Watch the ifs. God has made promises. He promised Cain, if you'll do well, that means follow my advice. If you do well, I will accept you, even to Cain. That's quite a promise. So, naturally, any of you, if you do well with him, especially where you have the backup of when you mess up, and you're going to, sooner or later, we all mess up a little bit, repent. Get back in good standing with him, and it will be well with you. Now, ifs also are used by someone else. They're used by Satan. Turn over to Matthew in the New Testament, chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 is where Christ set your example of how you should deal with Satan in your life. You're going to be tempted. And the closer you draw to God, the more you're going to be tempted. Why? Because you automatically become an enemy of Satan the stronger and closer you are with God. So, hey, you're going to be attacked. Learn how to take names and kick dragon. Right? Because you're going to have to do it. But, hey, that's fun. That can get to be a regular sport. Taking names and kicking dragons is right down your alley. Hey, bring on a few of them before breakfast. Show Satan who you are. And I mean, let him know what for. Well, here's Christ's example. The thing I want you to notice, that Satan makes conditions also. He uses that big word, if. In the Greek, if is ah. And in the Hebrew, it is an. But it still has the same meaning. It's conditional. Whether, probably the word whether or not. Whether you do this or whether you do that. Okay? You can get in big trouble if you don't use what God placed up here between your ears. All right? Chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Why would God allow that? To show you how. To show you that what you can do and how you should handle it. Just because Satan attacks you is not a reason to go hide. All right? I mean, he's out in the wilderness where there's no help from anyone other than self. He doesn't need any help. He's always with you. Verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. In other words, Christ put himself in this very weak condition to show you he can withstand the wicked one. Verse 3, and when the tempter, one of Satan's names, when the tempter came to him, he said, if, underline it, pay attention to it, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. In other words, if you are really the only begotten Son, of the Son of Almighty God, if you're Yahshua, then I know Yahweh is going to help you. What did Jesus answer? Verse 4, and he answered and said, it is written, and don't you ever forget this, God wrote this letter to you, showing you how to cut it, how to get it done, how to be a can-do type person. And this is how you get it done. It is written. What's written? The words of God. What do they say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. The law. That's just the way it is. That's the only answer. He didn't argue with Satan. Don't you argue with him either. You don't have to. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city. Where's that? Jerusalem, of course. And setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. I mean, he is high. We're right up there at the top of the world, all right? 6. And he said unto him, if, here's a condition again. You know, does Satan ever say to you, if you'll just bend the rules a little bit and rook old Jim over there out of about $5,000, you could buy, probably make a nice payment on a Cadillac. You know, if you'll be naughty, if you'll just weaken here a moment, Satan likes to use that word too. That's why we came here. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, woe. Now who said that? It is written. Satan did. Satan knows scriptures better than most human beings. That's why he can trick people, because he's going to quote a scripture. Let's read it. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, Satan quoted Psalms 91, verses 11 and 12. There's just one problem with it. He quoted it pretty well right on, and then right at the end, he lied. He told a falsehood. He changed the scripture. Don't you think for a moment he won't change it on you? My question is, will you know the difference? Because the scripture reads, not at any time, but if he should, or that is to say, God will keep you in all his ways. He changed that to any time. Now, a lot of people like to tempt God, and that is tempting God. If you, I'm going to jump off of this platform and God and his angels are going to catch me. Do you know what would happen if I said that and jumped off this platform? I'd bust my banana by my whatever. All right? It would be bad, and because I would have done a stupid thing. Don't tempt God. You know, if he says, I'm going to take care of you always, that's enough to know he will give you the wisdom and the knowledge. But Satan's going to say, if you really believe in God, make this stream stop flowing. And you've got churches, I believe, that would try. But that's a carnival. That's a sideshow. God doesn't deal in ignorance or sideshows. Everything that God does has a purpose and a meaning. You know, I've been, as an example, I'll use this as an analogy. I have seen many people healed in my lifetime, but you know, it was a special time and it had a purpose. God had a purpose in it. It was for a reason to affect other people, usually other than the person that was healed. It's just the way he works. I suppose that comes under the heading of faith, is to trust God enough to let God do His work and you do yours. Okay. Just to believe that if it's right, He's going to do it, and if He has another plan, you better listen. Okay. So Satan, my whole point, Satan will deal with you. He'll wheel and deal, but at the same time, even in the name of it is written, Scripture, he'll lie to you. He lied to Jesus Christ, who was what? The living Word. Can't get away with that. If the living Word lives within you, or if you are following it, don't let Satan get away with stuff. When it's wrong, say, whoa, ho, hoss, this is it. I ain't going no further with you. You're out. You're gone. All right? You get rid of it. Okay, verse 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In other words, he answered the question of saying, you're lying and you're trying to tempt God. And of course, he quoted Deuteronomy 6:16. Verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now, who was the prince of the air, or the prince of this world? It was Satan. It was his to do this, but only the worldly part. You got it? Okay. He could have given Christ, offered him all the worldly part. What happened? 7:9. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if, here's that condition again. What condition? If thou wilt fall down and worship me. That's the story of Satan's life. He wants to be somebody. He wants to be worshipped. Cowed to. Alright? What did Jesus say? Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Again, note what God, Christ uses for defense. What do you use for defense? You're a lamb, right? You're a little, helpless, innocent sheep, the analogy is, of God. What does a sheep always use for its protection? The shepherd. This is the shepherd, the written word. That's why you must have knowledge within it. So that you can zap, so that you can kick dragon, so that you can defend yourself in this world, in this life, and be somebody, be successful, be a winner, be a can-do type person. Alright. Verse 11, what happened? Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Initially, this was the time where he would say, on your way, buddy. That's all you have to say to him. Before Christ left the earth, he gave you power over all your enemies. Luke chapter 12, verse 8, Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Gives you power over all of your enemies. Use it. We're speaking spiritually here. Use it. Don't be afraid to. Be a winner. Be a champion for God. All right. If those great conditions that mean so very much. Let's go on over to the 6th chapter of Matthew. And probably some of the most simple conditions with the Word in your life of getting along with your family. This is very important. I don't know, do you have trouble with brothers and cousins and neighbors? Well, listen to this. Verse 14. This is following what many call the Lord's Prayer. Right? Verse 14 of Matthew chapter 6 reads, for if, there's that big word again, if you forgive men their trespasses, that's to say their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now what's the condition? If you don't forgive, if one of your neighbors sins against you and asks forgiveness, if you don't forgive, your Father's not going to forgive you. That's the condition. If. Sometimes that's a bitter old pill. And sometimes it's hard. But unforgiveness is almost an evil spirit within itself if the person has adequately compensated with regret, and even oftentimes with monetary reason, that deserves forgiveness. You better forgive, whatever it takes. Some of you are bigger than the person that is asking forgiveness, and it takes a big person to forgive. It takes God being kind and fair to forgive you, because Lord, look at you. Do you deserve forgiveness? Well, I don't. A lot of times I don't, but He still forgives me when I go to Him, bearing my heart, my mind, and ask for that forgiveness. So remember your brother. Hey, he's precious to you. Nobody's going to stay with you like your family will if you get along in God's Word. Verse 15. But if, there's that big word again, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You can put that down. You can ride on it. That's exactly how it is, friend. Many people wonder, ooh, why does God, you know, why doesn't God love me? Why doesn't God hear my blessings? Well, think back a little bit. What about your family and everything? Have you got everything square? Or have you offended God by the fact that you might have got a little over anxious and not forgiven someone? Now, don't think for one moment. I'm trying to tell you that to become a Christian is to become a walking mat for all people of the world. Christians are not second-class citizens. We don't take nothing off nobody. Okay? But at the same time, if God can be fair, we must be fair. If someone deserves forgiveness, give it to them. There might be the brother that will sin against you. He won't come to you and ask for forgiveness. He won't say boo to you. That's a colloquial term here in the Americas for my dear friends. That means that he won't give you the time of day. And there I use another slang word. He won't give you an answer. So with that, what? Well, as it is written in God's Word, a Christian then sets that brother off to one side. Do not treat him as an enemy, but exhort him. Let him know why you're not. So you see, the reason I'm throwing that in, I don't want someone to say, I've got to let people run over me. God doesn't demand that. You put them over, you correct them, you put them in their place, but don't treat him as an enemy, because sooner or later, maybe he'll give over and apologize, and you can go back in with Christian love, the arms of a brother, and save a family a lot of grief. Okay? So, that's the way it goes. It's conditional. But you, it starts right here. It starts with uno number one. You, right here in your heart, to forgive when someone deserves it. Okay, let's go down, if we may, to verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If, here's a condition concerning your own body, if therefore thine eye be single, that means, let me translate this for you better in the Greek, it's clear. In other words, I don't see any sin in your eye. I don't see you on any guilt trip. I mean, it's clear and I can see your very soul, and it's good right through your eye. But thy whole body shall be full of light. In other words, you have your eyes, spiritual eyes, open whereby light can flood in and you can learn truth from our Father's Word. Verse 23, but if, here's another condition, thine eye be evil. In other words, you're plotting some kind of bad thing. You're thinking about it. Thy whole body shall be full of darkness. God's going to shut you off. Shut her down. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is thy darkness. And I'm just going to throw the next verse in for free for you, okay? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I like to translate mammon as ill-gotten gains. Okay? God, to be rich is a wonderful thing if it's the blessings of God. Never make an apology for being rich like you all are. Okay? Because you deserve it. And God gives riches to, you know, to most, to some, to, let's see if I know any. Well, anyway. He does. He really does. We're rich and don't know it. If you own the roof over your head and you have transportation and your wife is happy with you, you're very wealthy. All right? You're rich. All right? That's, wealth comes in different ways, doesn't it? I think to have Christ in you and to be able to understand the ways of the world today is rich. You know. So remember the ifs in your personal life on forgiveness. You know, it is impossible that family members live so close together, and it's nice that it's close, without sooner or later somebody getting on somebody's toes. That's human nature. It's going to happen. So remember that the next time it happens. And don't like an old bear say, "What did you do that for, honey?" You better throw the honey in, or there may not be any supper that night, okay? She might saw your end of the table off right there, okay? So you want to be sweet to mama, because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, all right? So be real careful on that. Think about it. What I'm saying is, and I want to make that point well, people are going to get their feelings hurt. Well, you know, that's your brother. Then you're probably the one that caused the hurt because they misunderstood you. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Make it clear. All right. We just threw that in. Somebody must have needed that. That wasn't part of this conditional thing. All right. But be that as it may. Let's go to a doctrinal book. Let's go over to 1 Timothy. And let's pick up, let's use this word if in the doctrinal letters. So, 1 Timothy, Timotheus, as some would say, chapter 1. And what's being taught here is you're going to have some people that are going to come along and they're going to claim to be preachers, and it's going to be words, 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 you know, just swelling over with, oh, how sweet it is, you know, words, words, but they don't mean a thing. Don't say nothing. Don't communicate nothing. He just stands up in his robes, if he happens to have any or whatever, and says words. And when you leave, you don't know any more than you did when you arrived, when you first got there, okay? And that's kind of what he's talking about, is preachers, okay? Verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith and unfeigned, means not concealed, from which some have severed, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling. That means empty words. Jangle, jangle, jangle. You probably never heard anyone like that. I hope you never have to ride 500 miles with somebody that's jangle, jangle, jangle. Okay? That can be a trial. Okay? Verse 7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They have no idea. Now this will get you back into Phariseeism, or the type of religion that is taught by precedent rather than the Word of God. They have these big doctrines about a mile long, you know, on each side, and they'll say, "This good doctor says," but then according to this good doctor, he says otherwise. Now, what are we to do? Decide on which doctor? I say baloney. Decide on the Word of God. Let the good doctor take it and shove off. All right? It's according to what God says. And you are wise enough to discern for yourself without needing someone with a doctorate a mile long to ascertain what you should draw from it. Reminds me of one of these news commentators. They'll tell you why a truck blew up in some place and then tell you what you are to think about it. Well, surely you're smart enough to know what you should think about it. Or some spin doctor trying to explain politics to you when nobody can understand politics. You have to understand they're rip-off artists. And a lot of them are. Some of them are real good. We got some right here from Gravette, so I want to be careful what I say. One senator and one House of Representatives, and they're good boys. Those are good Christian boys, I hasten to add. About boxed myself in, I forgot I was on national television again. Anyway, oh, it can happen so easy. Oh, yes. Verse 8, let's get back to the scripture. But we know, not maybe, not perhaps, we know that the law is good. There's a big one. If a man use it lawfully. Now, doesn't that make sense? What does it mean, use it lawfully? Use it according to the law, not some dumb doctor quack here and there. Pretty soon they'll write a book on what this doctor said and that doctor said, and they'll put the Bible out of sight. And all you got is quack, quack here and quack, quack there. And you don't know where you are until you get the book back out. It is written. The man is bad. Law is good. The law keeps you out of trouble. You start out of Gravette right out here, I guarantee you, and there's a big sign there that says 55 miles an hour. That's the law. Now, you go out there just drifting along and hammer down, and moving on up to about 85 and see what happens to you between here and the next town. Unless you're very lucky. There's very few people I would want to ride 85 miles an hour on that road from here to Decatur. I'll tell you, he'd have to be good on them hairpin turns, wouldn't he? Whoa. Anyway, if you break the law, it's bad. But the law is good when you can barely hang on to your seat at 55 miles an hour at the bottom of that first curve. You're saying that the law is good as long as, but you get much over that, out you go. Boy, what a dumb analogy that is. Don't you agree? But it'll work. It'll work anyway. My friends are going to call me Doomcock if I'm not careful here. But that got it said, though, didn't it? You know, that's what's important is communicate. The law is good if it's taught lawfully or according to the law or as our Father states it. Don't ever let some man glue himself into that circuit where you must listen to me. You tell him, say, why? And if he starts jangling, which he will, say, I don't need it. We gave it the office, bye. Okay? That's the way you tell Satan in a nice way to make tracks, all right? So, well, where am I going from here? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's go to another book that teaches us 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to pick back up Cain again here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, Paul is going to kind of put all of this in a nutshell for us. We started with Cain, right? I chose this because it does put it in a nutshell, and it kind of tells you what you'd better be careful of today. I like it. Chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. This mistranslator, what it really says is, I'm going to be very serious. You pay very close attention to me. Verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. What does that mean? That put yourself in God's place, if that be possible, and what kind of jealousy does he practice? Well, number one, right now Christ is returning for a bride. And he wants her to be a virgin when he returns. All right, got it? For I have espoused you, I've engaged you, dedicated you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Spiritually speaking, that's the way it is. Verse 3, but I fear, this is what worries me, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. The word beguiled is in your Greek dictionary, 1818, spatio, which means wholly seduced. Now, to make it very clear, that's how you lose your virginity. So that God makes it very clear what Paul is concerned about here. As Eve lost her virginity, and you know the offspring thereof, Cain, through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. From the simplicity, the simple way that Christ teaches, you'd go and cloud your mind by what men might say, okay, or Satan. For if he that cometh, now here's a big if, telling you how to practice your doctrinal discernment. He that cometh preacheth another Jesus, like the false one, instead of Jesus, the false Christ, the son of perdition, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. What he's kind of saying, he's coming down on him, he said, if some super preacher comes along here, you all swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. Just because the big preacher says it, you say, uh-huh, that's right. Well, it may not be. If it doesn't align with God's word, it's not right. Okay? Period. I don't care how big a super preacher you got. It's not right if it's not right. The law is good if it is taught lawfully. That is to say, the way God said it. 5, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. He said, I'm one of the best Bible teachers you've ever heard in your life. He said, bear with me, I'm bragging just a little bit, but Paul says, I'm good. I know my Bible. I know what the Scriptures say. I don't care what those super preachers say, I know my Bible. Verse 5, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the chiefest apostles. 6, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. I may be a little awkward the way I talk, and I may come off a little bit strong sometimes, but I know the gospel, all right? Not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. We've made it very clear, everything that God's word states that you should be aware of. Now, Paul continues on and goes a little bit into his ministry, but I want to skip on, if I may, as he continues about the super preachers, down to verse 10 for the sake of time here, verse 10, and it reads, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. In other words, this truth that I have, no man's going to change that. I'm not going to start teaching what the super preachers are teaching. I'm going to teach exactly what God has authorized me to teach, no more, no less, right down the middle, no yea, no nay, right on. That's what Paul is saying. 11. Wherefore, for because of this, because I love you not, God knoweth I do. It may seem I'm a little rough on you, but it's because I love you. That's what Paul is saying. I don't want you to be deceived. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. What he's saying is, if they're not careful, I'm going to jerk the rug right out from under them. Because a man that really knows the Bible, one of those janglers will not debate him. period. They'll run scared. And Paul, that's exactly what he's saying here. He's saying, I am this way so that I can pull the carpet out from under him anytime I want to. And then he lays it on. Beloved, this is so important. Listen to it. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming. The Greek word is disguising themselves as the apostles of Christ. And they're not. And no marvel. That's no big deal. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Meaning Satan himself is disguised as an angel. Meaning he's going to play Jesus. He's going to play Savior. That's what he's always wanted to do, and he will return to this earth before the true Christ does. Paul doesn't want people to lose their Christian virginity when that fake shows up. He said, I don't care if someone else teaches you different or anything else. You be real careful. Remember what we taught you while we were there about the Kenites that claimed to be of our brother Judah and in fact were of the synagogue of Satan. Don't you forget it. What he's reminding them of. Children of Satan, of the wicked one. 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if, all right, understand, there's that big word again, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, I need not tell you that false teachings, God stipulates, as you all well know, and I won't go into this at great length. Certainly not. Ezekiel 13. God says, I am against those that teach my people to fly to save their souls. And yet, here this huge movement starts by man that you're going to fly away. It's not biblical. Not there. And that's Satan's doctrine. He loves nothing better than to have it preached. And they claim to be preachers of the true Christ. You're in a generation that must be very careful. So be careful. Your watchmen, watch. Let's get into some ifs again. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. In other words, you may think it's foolish talk, but what I'm telling you is straight from the Father. 17. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishness in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. Skip on to verse, we'll go. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. What this really says is, you think you are so wise, but they're making fools out of you. I don't know. Some people think they're very wise when it comes to understanding God's Word. But they get fools made of themselves when they listen to too much Kenite chatter. 20, let's take some ifs here. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage. You think you're so wise, but they can bring you right into bondage and you don't even know it. Christianity is supposed to set you free. When man with his rules and regulations tries to shackle you or tie you up, you're in the wrong pew, friend. If a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. Right. So you let those super preachers do all of that to you. Play you like, talk down to you like you don't know one end of the Bible from the other. He said, if you allow that, then you're not wise. He probably won't say it that strong. He would say, you're just a little bit on the stupid side. Okay? I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whether insoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold. And he was. He laid it on the line. Well, it's not popular sometimes to speak boldly. This ministry could be, I don't know, we're all the way around the world and we have hundreds of thousands of viewers. And I kind of think people like to have it salty and bold myself. I think they like it the way God said it. So I'm never going to change from that. I'm going to follow Paul's advice on that. Though people think they're wise in the world, yet they let religions shackle them and tie them down and rip them off and never feed them. For the only food that will sustain you is the Word of God planted here, whereby you can be successful, prosperous, and somebody, a real child of God. In closing, the epistles of John, right before the book of Revelation. And we're going to go to the first epistle of John. Chapter 1. I kind of want to end this back with you personally again, okay? About being a Christian and how you should react. Verse 5, chapter 1, first epistle of John. This then is the message which you heard of him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. That's what you want, friend. You want clarity and you want light. If, here's that condition, we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's why when someone does not know, at least have a working knowledge of the Word, and they say they walk very close with Jesus, that's why I don't tell them they're lying. But you would know it, wouldn't you? I would think you would. And you don't have to tell them either. You just know that you know. That's a true statement. But if, verse 7, we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. When you repent, he forgives you. You've got a fresh start. None of us is perfect, and we need that. I said, if you repent. Verse 8, if, there it is again, we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. There's not a human being on this earth that lives totally without sin. I mean, there are so many ways we can sin that and you shouldn't be uptight about this. Just do your best. But like, really, there are health laws, there are so many laws, you know, you just do the best you can and go with it. But don't set yourself up as some saint, or you're gonna hurt yourself. And if you try to build, a lot of preachers suffer that. They'll say things like, wine has never passed my lips. I've never had a bad thought. They're lying, because they're in the flesh. And the flesh cannot, will not prevent itself from having bad thoughts every once in a while. I don't care who you are. Now, I'm a realist, okay? I mean, I'm not one of these flyaway saintly people that just like to make believe. If we make believe. You know? Well, I don't like to make believe. I like the real thing, all right? And that's the way we are. That's the way God created us, and that's it, okay? So, but what do? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He's what? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, did it say that Jesus was faithful and all you had to do was just lay it on him? No, that isn't what it said. It said if. And that if is a big if. You've got to confess it to him. You don't have to confess it to me. I'm going to tell you the truth about it. I don't even want to know about it, necessarily. Okay? That's your business between you and him. But you repent to him, because you know what? He already knows about it. He already knows. I got enough sins of my own to confess for without confessing for yours. And I'm not talking about counseling here, necessarily. I'm just talking about confession, all right? So it's a big if you confess, okay? 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's a heavy trip, friend. You know, because it doesn't do any good to say something and not have it be true and claim it in God's name. Oh, that's a heavy trip. You talk about making our Father unhappy, that will do it in a hurry. Just so we're not confused, I'm going to go one more verse and we're going to stop here. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. Now you see, that would really fill a lot of people. He just said you're a liar if you say you don't sin. He said, here, sin not. Well, it is true, you shouldn't. But this word sin here is don't be an habitual sinner. Habitual meaning somebody that just don't care. If you ever met anybody like that, wouldn't matter. They'll lie to you, they'll lie to whoever it takes. They don't care. They're an habitual sinner. Mark, let them go on to the devil and just be gone with it, okay? But the little sins of life, we all seem to. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, who is Jesus Christ. He's at his right hand. He wants to hear from you. He loves you. And you know what an advocate is? That's a legal term. It means you've got a lawyer sitting right there beside God in a very tender, loving way that's willing to take your case up, and he doesn't charge anything. The price is already paid. It was paid on the cross. But all you have to do is say, will you please go to the Father, Emmanuel, God with us, understand what I'm saying. Confess your sins. Let him know that you love him. That's what he wants most from you, is your love. That means a lot to him. He created man for his pleasure, not for Satan's pleasure. So when you pleasure God, his blessings flow upon you. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being allowed to serve you, Father. Use these all as thy servants in these last days where they come from all over the country, Father. Touch them in Yahshua's precious name. Amen. Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast. Okay, let's see what people have on their minds here in questions. Marilyn? Yeah, I don't know where Marilyn's from. What do you say to someone who says the Bible is nothing but fiction and lies? Hey, I don't say much of anything to them. I don't like people like that too much. I don't want to be around them a whole lot. I might plant a seed and I might tell them, haven't you observed prophecy coming to pass? Don't you love the blessings of God? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And don't ever cast your pearls before swine. Always use something very important to say to someone like that that might trigger them. Like, isn't it wonderful to know where America is mentioned in God's Word? And just walk off. Many of them are going to chase you down. That's going to get their attention. In other words, a good seed planter, I mean, when you go out fishing and you're fishing for men, if you're going to go out and catch trout, you sure don't use the same bait you would to catch some bad fish. Okay? You use the right bait.
Okay, Adam from California. I would like to know how you explain dinosaur fossils when the fossils are dated back before the Bible started, that time began. Whoa, what? Adam, I don't believe I have to answer you. You see, son, you let him mislead you, didn't you? The Bible began in the beginning. In the beginning was millions of years before the dinosaur, all right? God finally got around to creating the behemoth, but they're there. I hope today's lesson answered your question for you. Jeff from Georgia, I really like your teaching. Well, thank you. It's God's word, not mine, all right? But I'm confused about something. Can you please clear this up for me? Today in 1 Peter, you sort of condemn Christians who don't have any works to show for our payment at Judgment Day. I can see how someone like yourself who gets paid to preach. Now, let's just hold up right there. I've preached for 50-something years, and I've never been paid for it yet because I will not receive it. That's not my agreement with God. So let me just straighten you out on that coming out the gate. I preach because to me it's too precious the gift to charge for it. That is to say, to charge a salary. I enjoy doing it too much. And I made a deal with God, which is all right, I think, sometimes, that if he would give me good, strong hands and a very good business mind that I could make my own way, I would preach his word. And you know what? Everything I touch turns to gold. It really does. I'm blessed above all blessing, but I don't charge for preaching. You got it? Okay, somebody that's paid could have a lot of works to show, but what about those of us who go to work each day and don't have much opportunity to do work for God? Should we be doing a little something extra? No, you don't have to do anything extra. Just smile and be a good Christian at work and set that countenance. That's a witness.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The Epistles of John, three letters written by the Apostle John, that disciple whom Jesus loved. The tenderness of John's writings is marked by the number of times